Check the vibe. Hello and welcome to Udcast, episode 15. This is Head of School Dan Glass with you, recording live here at the Sound Lab at the Brandeis School of San Francisco, exploring the Souls curriculum on another rainy Thursday in San Francisco. We're going to begin today, as we always do, with a poem. This is a poem that's going to come up at the end of the podcast here again today, but I thought I'd read another section of it. This is from Robert Duncan's book, Bending the Bow, one of his more significant individual books. Came out from New Directions, let me check the publication date here, 1963, it looks like, although this edition I have of it is 1968, and actually it's interesting to notice that this is the sixth edition. So when this book was published, they did a new edition of it every year. So 63, 64, 65, 66, 67, and 68. That's impressive for a book of poetry. Robert Duncan was an important figure in the Black Mountain poetry scene. Contemporaries with Robert Creeley, who we looked at a poem of Robert Creeley's from the same general time period, the 1960s, last week for Love. And there was a really beautiful new biography of Robert Duncan published a couple of years ago, came out of, I think, out of UC Press, that was really fabulous and I think brought a lot of his life and ideas back into the contemporary moment of American poetry. This is a poem called The Fire. It's Passages 13, so it's from a series of poems called Passages, and each one has their own title. This one's The Fire. And I'm going to read the section right after the section that is quoted in the Word of the Week that'll become this Udcast podcast. So that section you'll hear later, but it continues from there. From the wood we thought burning, our animal spirits flee, seeking refuge wherever, as if in Eden, in this panic. Lion and lamb lie down, quail, heed not the eagle in flight before the flames high overhead go. We see at last the man-faced roe and his gentle mate. The wild boar, too, turns a human face. In those visages no terror but a philosophic sorrow shows. The ox is fierce with terror. His thick tongue slavers and sticks out panting to make the Gorgonian face. This is Piero di Cosimo's great painting, A Forest Fire, dated 1490 to 1500, preserved in the Ashmolean Museum at Oxford. He inherits the sfumato of Leonardo da Vinci. There is a softening of outline, his color fuses. A glow at the old borders makes magic Plitho, Ficino, Pico della Mirandola prepared, reviving in David's song. Saul in his flaming rage heard, music Orpheus first played, chords and melodies of the spell that binds, the many in conflict in contrasts of one mind. So sfumato is actually sort of the theme this week as we are here in the fog and rain of December. I've been up too late this week, and again up too early, burning the winter candle at both ends against the oncoming rush of the break, the sprint to the finish that characterizes these moments in schools. The edges of the days and their contents blur. the gym full of parents and kids watching screenagers and thinking together, the gym full of preschoolers singing Hanukkah songs and building the light, the fog, the rain, the gifts and well wishes, the greetings and goodbyes. Into the haze of this week, tablets, large format, anachronism of a print magazine arrived. I was drawn to an article about Mongolia by Jesse Eisenberg and opened it and left it open on my desk, dropping in and out of his millennial Woody Allen angst in the interstitial spaces of my days. He tells of visiting Mongolia with a friend who is closer to an acquaintance, of exploring its wide-open spaces as well as the ragged holes left in the lives of its inhabitants by the encroaching global economy. I wanted to write about Mongolia as a metaphor for the broad vistas of time away, but it is the wrong season. The oversaturated white taiga I picture holds none of the gauzy green and gray of December in San Francisco. Hanukkah is a festival of lights in a way that holds a deep human history in it, that transcends individual tradition, the history of campfires that hold back the night and define the edges of the visible and the known. It is a history of the days shortening and getting colder, and our human impulse to seek shelter and warmth and the company of loved ones. Where the light and dark intersect is the haze of these days for me, and a notion of the sacred, the touch of the familiar against the numinous emptiness. This week has brought to mind for me the painting technique sfumato, one of the central modes of Renaissance painting, most famously visible in the blurred edges of Da Vinci's Mona Lisa. The word itself derives from the Italian fumo, or smoke, and that smokiness articulates well the wintering spirit of this week. I first learned of sfumato in an art history course while living abroad in Spain, and then saw the smoke of it crawling across the walls of galleries in the Prado and the Reina Sofia. And I've talked at other points on this podcast about time spent in those museums, which was a really foundational experience for me, a foundational experience of art in the world for me as a young man, as a college student, living abroad for the first time, actually being out of the country for the first time as I was as a junior at UC Berkeley and then across the pond there in Spain. Ben Lerner, who is a poet that I much admire, who's become a novelist and, you know, like the transition for many from poetry to fiction, has seen his renown grow by virtue of a wider readership in the new art form. He has a wonderful book called Leaving the Atocha Station that's actually his first novel. He also has another excellent novel called 1004. And both of them are very self-involved. They feature narrators who are very much like the author himself, trying to kind of make sense of their work in the world and the world of art and poetry and literature. And Leaving the Atocha Station features scenes at the Reina Sofia and at the Prado that are very familiar to me of just sitting in front of these artworks and just being aware of the world of art in a different way. And it's one of the things that I think is really amazing about being in the great cities of the world is having that opportunity. When we lived in Los Angeles, we would head down to LACMA, the museum, the County Museum of Art, which has a wonderful collection. We'd also head over to MoCA, the Museum of Contemporary Art, and just spend time seeing what people who were analyzing the world through the creative lens were thinking about the world these days. And it's a wonderful thing to do. Hope to do a little bit of it while on break in the coming weeks. But in any case, that was how I learned about sfumato. But then it came up again via literature for me in Robert Duncan's book, Bending the Bow, which I just read from this poem, The Fire, Passages 13. And this book, Bending the Bow, is really all these poems. They have this kind of anachronistic flair to them. There is this kind of old world sort of animist spirituality that's present in them. And even an anachronistic use of language, you know, there are these sort of 19th century uses of apostrophes and shortening of words that he sort of reinvigorates from the perspective of the counterculture movement in the 1960s. Lots of echoes of Whitman in Duncan, much like in Ginsberg. So I will end here with the lines that precede immediately the ones that I read to begin the Yudcast here today. And they go like this. The day at the window, the rain at the window, the night and the star at the window. Do you know the old language? I do not know the old language. Do you know the language of the old belief? I wish you all winter breaks encircled by loved ones and light, my friends, and touched too by the old beliefs that fog our edges. Shabbat shalom to everybody listening on Shabbat, and hope you all have a Hag Sameach. Enjoy the Hanukkah and other winter holidays that you may celebrate. And we will look forward to being back with you in January of 2017.